This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again, I'm back with part three of a five-part series that I'm calling Calming Down in Crisis. That's a little bit of a confusing topic, but I'm talking about how we can be resources of psychological first aid in the midst of a crisis. So it's sort of a training to help you to be an encourager, to be a shepherd, to be a consultant, and help other people who may be having more trouble than you might be. The first session, we talked about the whole issue of what we bring to a crisis and what sorts of things are going on for us. And it, I talked about our personality characteristics, our activity level, our anxiety, and our tendency or proclivity to act in certain ways, and how that can be both a benefit and a liability. And then last time I started on my famous ABCs that Dr. Santucci had developed, and the ABCs of survivor support. And the first two were to decrease arousal, that is to help the person to sort of level off and maybe get less anxious by helping them find a safe place and connect to support networks and family. And then decrease the behavior disorders, which try and get people to resume normal activities. A lot of times I've used in radio programs the whole idea about normalizing things. And that's a good example of things that we need to do in terms of helping people to find as much normality as they can. If they're a refugee in a refugee settlement living in a tent, of course, there's not as many things that you can do as if they were in their own community. But you can try and help them to pay attention to their kids, to the family, help the kids to feel safer than they may have felt and stuff like that. Today, I want to continue, and I want to talk about two more things, obviously C and D, since I've done A and B. And C is decrease cognitive impairment. Okay, what does that mean? Well, that means slow down the thinking or help the thinking to be more productive in the person's life. So what do we do when we work on thinking? Well, feeling and thinking are closely related, obviously. But when we think, sometimes that means our feelings come along after that. So I'm working as a psychological first aid resource person in this arena of decreasing cognitive impairment. Now, if you will visualize with me that this crisis event has happened just very recently. I mean, we're still close. We're still kind of in the middle of it. And people are still in the middle of it, if you will. And we're wandering around. Imagine that we're sort of wandering around helping in a purposeful way. So as I walk by, and how do I identify if somebody is struggling with cognitive impairment, if their thinking isn't right? Well, you see it in terms of anxiety level, activity level, and you see it in terms of the kind of questions that they ask. So, hey, hi, how you doing? When am I going to get my car back? Well, who knows where their car is, you know, when are they going to come and rescue us, or things? I don't know. That might not be a good example, but my goal, there's a couple of very specific things that I want to aid them with. First of all, I want to help them facilitate coping skills and strategies. So, I might want to listen to them, but I'm not necessarily going to want to encourage them to develop inappropriate strategies or expectations. Will you find out for me? You know, people a lot of times ask questions that they want answers. And sometimes if you're a nice, agreeable person, you might say, sure, I can find that out for you. Big problem. That really will not increase their coping skills, because they're going to sit around waiting for you to answer or find information out about something that you have no ability to answer. So I usually try and avoid answering or agreeing to do something for them specifically. I may say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, and I'm not sure that anybody does right now, but I'm going to hopefully try and see if I can help you figure out how to answer. So what I'm doing is I'm not doing things for them, but I'm helping them to figure it out. For example, they may say, I don't know how to get a hold of my medications. Okay, there is a medical facility right here. And I think if you go there, I think the hours where that they have open clinic is coming up in about 15 minutes. I think it might be a good idea for you to consider going and getting in line with that. That is, I'm not doing it for them, but I'm asking them to participate in their own strategy and structure. Because if I can give them the opportunity to develop more structure, I'm also helping them cope. Another issue is that I want to help them with orientation and reality and decision making and problem solving. So I kind of want to say, well, how are you going to get this accomplished? How are you going to do this? What's on your agenda for today? I don't have an agenda. Oh, well, you know, you're going to just sit here for the whole day. You know, I kind of take, depending if they give me permission, I take kind of a little bit of a humorous or a lighthearted approach with them. So you're going to sit here all day? No, I'm not. I got to go to breakfast. Oh, okay. Has breakfast been good for you? Well, it's okay. You stand in line a lot. But you also get to meet new people. Well, I suppose I do. Well, so are there anybody else here that used to do what you did before the thing or whatever? I try to help them with keeping them here where they are. Sometimes I'll find people that have previous emotional issues or problems that maybe they've even been on medication for. They kind of get a little bit more disconnected. And so I have to try and help them figure out how to get the care they need, but also maybe in a little way of saying, I don't think it's quite like that. I think it's more like this. So kind of normalizing things and helping them think rationally. So what's going to happen? Well, tomorrow we're going to go to the airport and we're going to fly to Hawaii. Have you got your ticket yet? No, I'm just going to go to the airport. Well, the airport's still closed. At least I heard that on the news today. How have you been getting that information? I don't know. I just decided I was going to do that. Oh, okay. That might not be helpful for right now, especially if no one knows that you're going to leave. Do you have any other opportunities for leaving? Well, my sister's over in so-and-so town, and I'm going to call her this afternoon and see if maybe we can go stay with them, because I really just want to move. I want to get away for a while. Well, I think that's a reasonable request to do that. Do you have access to phones here? You know, and how would I'm exploring, because I'm a little concerned with how connected they are, and I want to help them think through some things, not trying to prevent them, but just help them think through some things, get them to involve themselves in a problem solving kind of thing. Some people in the midst of crisis, they get to the point where it's everything is a problem, and they get real stuck in that. And sometimes somebody like me functioning in psychological first aid is going to be the kind of the sounding board and help them process through that. I've had a lot of people tell me that just my listening and correcting and talking with them helped them make sense out of their life at that moment. The next point is distress and data and decisions. That's D. Well, what we're looking at, we're trying to measure a little bit. We don't do a lot of measuring or evaluating in this stage, except to help people be safe. But we want to help them when they are exhibiting signs of distress. And those are fairly specific categories that they will have. Sometimes you'll see people who have a pre-existing medical condition that are looking a little bit fragile, and they're acting fragile, and they're talking disjointedly, and they're complaining of a lot of different things. And those are people that probably need to be moved on fairly directly to the next level. In most cases, helping them to figure out how to get the care they need. You're not necessarily going to be able to facilitate that for them, but to help them to think through that. An example of that is something I've talked about here on these programs of a woman that we determined within the first few minutes of conversation that she had been a client of the county mental health system, and that she had been on some medications which were helping her to live fairly effectively. And it had been a number of days since she wasn't taking her medication, and what was happening now is she was getting increasingly confused. It was difficult for her to connect the dots in her life. She wasn't eating and sleeping. She was getting not sure exactly where she was staying. It became imperative to get her back under the appropriate treatment. Now, unfortunately, this, when I talked to her, it was over the phone and I had no idea where she was and I had no ability to get there. But I worked through with her in helping her to see what the steps were. Did she know where the mental health clinic was? Yes. Was it open? Yes, she knew that. Could she just walk in? Yes, she could. How would she get there if she left right now? And just, she walked through that with me, and I was pretty confident at the end of the conversation that she could do that. I couldn't take care of her completely, but I was able to help her with that. Well, those are just two more of the things. We're going to talk about the E and F next time, and we'll finish that up and then do some more summarizing at the end of the end program, the last program. I hope this has been helpful. I hope it gives you some ideas about how to care for people around you. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.